I was going to tell a joke this morning, but there is absolutely no need for me to tell a joke this morning. I will not, in all the jokes I tell from now in the next 5 years, get as much laughter as Lucy got with her one-liner this morning. I was sitting there thinking, because we record this and put it out on the internet, and at first I was thinking, man, they're probably not going to pick that up, and people that are watching either at home right now, there's people that can be watching it at home, and I know there are, and also people that watch it later, they're not going to hear the comments out there. They're just going to see us in prayer time, and all of a sudden everybody here bursts into laughter. And I thought, boy, they should be able to hear that. And then I thought, no, maybe it's better that they don't. Hello. I'm going to move this so that I don't go to the hospital later from stepping on it. About 2 years ago, 2 years ago or so, I was working on our car. At the time, we had that old Cadillac that now our daughter has. And I was working on that car, and I was trying to change the power steering line that runs in it. And the power steering line runs, it's at the front of the engine, which is to say the side of the car, because those V8s are mounted in sideways so that it's front-wheel drive. And there's about literally 2 inches of space between all the pulleys and belts and everything at the front of it and where the edge of the car is. And I was almost complete with this job. I had almost finished the job. There was one thing I had to do. There was a single bolt, a little 10-millimeter bolt, that holds the retainer to hold the line up against the side of the engine, and it has to go in, or the line will be rubbed by the belt. And I was trying to put that in. Mind you, it had been a tough job all along, but all I had to do was get that bolt in. That's it. And I had been trying to put one bolt in for over half an hour. Because where it is and how it's shaped, I had to reach down this way around the engine and hold up the line with these two fingers and then use these two fingers, because my big fat thumb couldn't get around to hold the bolt, and use these two fingers to try and thread the bolt into the engine. And without fail, every time I would think I've just gotten the first thread into that engine, and I'd try to maneuver differently, or I'd get a cramp in my finger, and guess what would happen? The bolt would fall. Usually it would fall all the way through onto the floor, so then I've got to get down on the floor and reach around and fish in there until I can find it. Sometimes, however, it wouldn't fall all the way through. It'd get caught up on something down inside. And I'd been working on this for quite a while. And I don't know, about the 18,000th time that I tried to do it, Kathy comes out into the garage. And she's trying to figure out what I'm doing, and she sees that I'm frustrated and I'm not getting it someplace, and she says, what are you doing? And I told her, I'm just trying to get this last bolt in. And she says, well, can I help? And of course, I kind of go, because, you know, I was a mechanic in the Army. I'm qualified to do this. And if I can't do it after all these times, what makes her think she can do it? So finally she says, just let me try once. If I don't get it, fine. But if I can get it, let me help you. So I'm like, all right, fine, whatever. Kathy reaches down in there, and about 15 seconds later, she says, okay, it's in. See, Kathy doesn't have big mitts. Kathy's got tiny little hands and tiny little wrists, and she was able to just reach down in there and go, and there it was. All I had to do now was put a wrench on it and tighten it down, and the job was done. I didn't want her help at first. I wanted to do it myself, but I couldn't do it myself. No matter how many times I tried, I couldn't do it myself. Maybe I'm just not that bright and I wasn't doing it right. Maybe there was a better tool that would have helped me do it, but I couldn't do it. Now, Kathy very lightly just said, okay, let me know if you need anything else, and walked back in the house. Well, I went, okay, where's my wrench? However, there's a downside for Kathy on this. Because now, every single time that I'm working on something in a little teeny place, I come in to the house, whatever she's doing, I say, hey, can I borrow your little hands for a minute? And she has to come out and do the fine work where I can't get my little fingers. My point is, I was a certified Army mechanic. I used to pull engines and transmissions and power packs and change them out, and I have worked on vehicles that weigh 88 tons. Kathy has no training in mechanics whatsoever other than what she learned from her dad and some things that I've taught her and just the common sense that she has. But turning a bolt in didn't require to be a certified mechanic. It required little hands. Sometimes we need to look around and realize that we're not necessarily the best person for that particular job, even if we want ourselves to be the best person for that particular job. For some reason, though, a lot of us, maybe it's just me, but I think it's a lot of us, we tend to think that we need to do it all. It might be that a person doesn't want to bother other people with something that they might think of as their responsibility. For others, it might be the idea that there's no one else who will do it right, which, unless you're a genius and everyone else in your life is a moron, it's probably not the case. There's the old saying, if you want it done right, do it yourself. I don't think that that's necessarily true. I think that a lot of times the opposite is true. If you want it done right, get the person who's good at doing that particular thing. There are some things that I might be better at than my wife. For instance, my wife will quite frequently, when opening a jar, play with it for a long time, and then finally she'll hand it to me. And this is when I get to have my mitts work right. Because she hands me the jar she's been playing with for 10 minutes, and I go, there you go. She loosened. But there's probably things that you are good at that I am not. There's probably things that I'm good at that you're not. There's probably things that the person sitting next to you is better at than you. And it works the other way also. I want to take a look at Scripture where there's something which happened and how it's dealt with there. That's very similar along these lines. Turn with me to the Old Testament in the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 18, 13 through 23. It says, the next day, Moses sat to judge the people. And the people stood around Moses from morning till evening. When Moses' father-in-law saw all that he was doing for the people, he said, what is this that you're doing for the people? Why do you sit alone and all the people stand around you from morning till evening? And Moses said to his father-in-law, because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a dispute, they come to me and I decide between one person and another. And I make them know the statutes of God and his laws. Moses' father-in-law said to him, what you are doing is not good. You and the people with you will certainly wear yourselves out, for the thing is too heavy for you. You are not able to do it alone. Now obey my voice. I will give you advice, and God be with you. You shall represent the people before God and bring their cases to God, and you shall warn them about the statutes and the laws, and make them know the way in which they must walk and what they must do. Moreover, look for able men from all the people, men who fear God, who are trustworthy and hate a bribe, and place such men over the people as chiefs of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens. And let them judge the people at all times. Every great matter they shall bring to you, but any small matter they shall decide themselves. So it will be easier for you, and they will bear the burden with you. If you do this, God will direct you, and you will be able to endure, and all the people also will go about their place in peace. I want to take just a moment to point out to you that this is Moses. Moses. You know, the guy who went up on Mount Sinai and received the Ten Commandments, not once, but twice, directly from God. The guy who spoke with God. The guy who put Pharaoh in his place. The guy who led a couple million people out of slavery. Yeah, that guy. Moses. Perhaps because God had, in fact, chosen him to lead the Israelites out of Egypt, thought that everything that needed to be done by him. He was trying to help them get their entire legal system set up through God, through the laws that God had given them. And he was trying to act as prophet. He was trying to act as king. He was trying to act as judge and arbiter for the entire nation. Now, it was a smallish nation, and it didn't have a whole lot of laws to be enforced, but even so, he was wearing himself out, trying to be the one to get everything done. He could not do it. Beyond that, he couldn't even see that he couldn't do it. I have no idea if God directly influenced Jethro. But Jethro saw what was going on, and he realized that it just wasn't going to work, at least not for very long, and something needed to be done to change that situation. It took him, Moses' father-in-law, intervening to get him to realize that he was not only not helping the situation by thinking he had to do it all, he was actually hurting the situation. He was making it so they couldn't get anything accomplished because he was spending all his time trying to judge between every single situation that was going on. Things were just getting worse. So even in that situation, there was a need for others to come and be appointed to help things get done. It doesn't say how they were appointed, but Moses surely would have known a lot of the leaders of the different tribes, and the tribes would have known a lot of the leaders of the different clans, and the leaders of the clans would certainly have known the leaders of the different individual families. They would have known how to get a hold of people who would be suited for those jobs, and they were appointed. And it greatly eased the load that Moses had to do so he could get on with some more important things. I don't know, stuff like writing the Bible. And I like how this passage ends. It tells what would be the result of doing this wise delegating of responsibility and authority. It says, "So it will be easier for you, and they will bear the burden with you. If you will do this, God will direct you. You will be able to endure, and all his people also will go to their place in peace." There are many, many instances of this sort of thing happening in Scripture where people needed help to be able to do the things, to get things done for the people of God. And I think there's one instance in the New Testament that really spells it out just perfectly, and that is in the 6th chapter of the book of Acts, where things needed to be done, and they needed to be done differently than they were doing them. In the book of Acts, chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, it says, "Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and of Prochorus, and of Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. This is largely considered the first choosing of the first deacons of the church. Now, some people have said, "Hey, nowhere in here does it say that they were deacons." I would strongly say otherwise. What is translated in verse 1 as the daily distribution, or if you have some different translations that may even add in what's implied but not said, is the daily distribution of food. In Greek, this literally says, and I'm going to try and pronounce this, but Greek was a long time ago, kathamarinos diakonia, literally the daily service. It exactly uses the term of deacon to describe what is happening. In verse 2, where it says that it would not be right for the apostles to neglect preaching in order to serve tables, you may have to wait on tables or something similar to that. But again, the literal word is diakonio, to serve tables. To serve is diakonio. And so again, people are chosen. People are chosen from among those who are qualified and willing and skilled. And they were set aside and appointed, commissioned, ordained by the spiritual leaders to do the task which is needed to be done. But it didn't necessarily need to be done by the apostles. Once again, I want to draw your attention to the outcome of this event. Wisdom was applied. A principle of God was used in order to share the load of the work, to delegate out responsibility and authority, and the outcome was a blessing. The people who were being neglected got what they needed, and it didn't overburden those who were already trying to apply themselves in leadership of the church. And the result was a blessing. It says, "And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith." In the Restoration Movement, the churches that we're affiliated with, we really only have two sorts of people in leadership in the church. We don't have priests. We don't have bishops, as they might be known. We don't have cardinals, and we don't have all kinds of different things. What we have are elders and deacons. The elders are charged with the spiritual leadership of the church. The deacons are charged with leading different ministries within the church, different ways of serving in our church. The responsibility and authority of those ministries are delegated to them, and they keep the elders appraised of what's going on in those different ministry areas within the church and the things that they need and where needs are that must have some attention. Last January, the elders put forward and the congregation confirmed Diane Henry as the deacon over the area of praise and worship. She's been doing it very well for a long time. And today we come to officially set her aside and ordain her to the position of deacon so that the kingdom of God may flourish and be blessed and grow here in this congregation. She's been doing the job for quite some time, and we nominated her, and you as the congregation confirmed her in the position, and it's something she's good at. You know what would happen if I was trying to lead worship? If I was trying to be in charge of worship? Number one, Curtis might get a little upset. Number two, it'd be done poorly, because I'm not gifted in that area. I think I could say the same for a number of people that are leading in different areas. We have different places and different talents and different abilities within this church, and so we delegate the authority and the responsibility of those areas to those people, and we say, you know what? You are good at this. So this is something that you, because you're willing and good at it, we're going to put you in charge of. And today we come to ordain her into that position, something we should have done months ago and it simply slipped my mind. But we want to do that officially today. So I'm going to ask that Diane come forward and all of the elders also. And we as a congregation are going to pray over her. The elders will be up here. And I would like you to join us as we officially ordain her into that position as deacon of worship. We'll all just take turn having a few words of prayer to God in this. Please pray with us. Father God, we thank you so much for Diane and her willingness to serve this church. Lord, we pray that you would bless her and bless this church through her ministry in this church and her willingness to serve. We love you and we praise you.
Father God, thank you for Diane. You know what's in her heart. You know that she loves serving you, and she loves serving us through the music that they bring forth week after week. Thank you for bringing Diane here. It's in Jesus' name.
Father God, I thank you for Diane and all the things that she's willing to do behind the scenes that keeps the praise team going. We just praise you. We thank you for her service in Jesus' name.
Lord, we thank you for the talent that you've given Diane. We enjoy her playing every week. And she does very much behind the scenes that we don't often acknowledge. But we thank you, Lord, for her willingness to do what she does so well without seeking praise for it and doing it for you.
Father, we thank you again for Diane's willingness to take part in your service. And Father, we just pray a special blessing upon her that she will be able to do these duties without any hesitation. And we want to pray for her family too, Father. Be with Curtis as he leads her to us. For these things we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. And we've got half the praise team already up here, so I'm going to invite the rest of the praise team up as we close the service out. The Lord has set aside certain things within church for certain people, but there's something that he's set aside for all people who call themselves by his name, and that is to surrender themselves to him, to be immersed in Christian baptism and rise again a new creation. If you have not done that, we invite you to do that today. Please, if you're thinking about that, or if you've been thinking about that, don't put it off any longer. Come forward as we stand and sing. Please stand.